Welcome to the SLP Talk Show, real talk with Carrie about stuff that really matters.
Hey, it's Carrie, your fast-talking, speech therapy-loving host. While you are driving, cleaning, exercising, or whatever it is you do while listening to podcasts, I'm going to be chatting about pediatric speech therapy stuff. But I don't want our time together to feel like work or be boring. You already work enough, and you already have enough boring stuff to do in your life. So let's get going and have some fun. Hello, and welcome to episode 52 of the SLP Talk Show. I am Carrie, and I am here with Jim.
Hello.
We are back. I want to apologize for taking such a long break. I have had, I don't know what you call it, the crud? I don't know. It wasn't COVID, but I am telling you, I was sick for a good 2.5 weeks and had no voice and coughed like a crazy person.
Yes,
and I just could not justify getting on here and coughing in your ear.
Coughing is definitely a hurdle to
podcasting.
To speaking.
It is. And as a professional speaker, I did speak one day here locally in Kansas City, and I coughed and I couldn't cancel on them. I just felt so bad because I was the keynote speaker. So I did a 2-hour and I was miserable and it was awful. So anyways, we are back. If I cough, I apologize, but I am finally feeling better.
Yeah.
Aaron, of course, has it now.
Been a long road.
It has. Gave it to my kids. So, you know, that's how this works. But anyways.
Share and share alike.
So, I think what we need to do is start with a quick game of Chump or Champ. What do you think?
Okay.
Yep. It's been a while. Are you feeling lucky?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm out of practice.
Okay. Okay. So here's how this works. I asked Jim, who is a trivia buff.
Somewhat.
Yeah, much more than me. I asked Jim 4 questions. If he gets them all right, he is a champ. Yeah. If he misses any, well, he's a chump.
Right.
But, you know, that's okay.
Yep.
It's okay to not
it's
be
okay.
perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, first question.
I'm very okay with that.
You're very okay with that. We both had lots of practice at not being perfect, haven't we? All right. First question. Our daughter Whitney, this is not the question, but our daughter Whitney plays the guitar, so I think you have a good shot at this one.
Okay. All right.
Question. Which string is the thickest string, also known as the top string, on a guitar?
Dang it. I'm going to say the G.
That's what I would have said, but it's wrong. It's E.
E.
Yeah.
That's Whitney's the other one. That's the other one I was thinking of.
Whitney's going to be very disappointed in
She's
us.
She's going to smack me.
All right. Here we go. Next question. In which ocean can you find the Bermuda Triangle?
Atlantic.
I think we should go to the Bermuda Triangle sometime.
But I don't want to disappear.
No, we won't, though, because I
That's what happens there.
But I think we should go. I think it'd be a fun adventure. Okay, third question. Are you ready? What ingredient do people with celiac disease have to avoid in their diet?
Celiac disease. Man, I'm glad you gave me that softball with the Atlantic and Bermuda Triangle, because celiac disease, I think they probably have to avoid
it's what's in bread.
I was getting there. It's probably gluten.
You're right. I'm sorry. I felt bad. You look like you were struggling.
No.
Okay. Last question. You got this one.
But...
Here's another softball.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right.
What was Bobby Fischer exceptionally good at?
That would be chess.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay.
All right. Well, good job for
70,
us being...
75%.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
Story of my life. All right.
Solid C.
A solid C.
Solid C
you
student.
You know what? C's get degrees. It's okay. okay, guys. So we are actually going to talk about something that I did a social media post on about a month ago when I was planning on doing this topic. And then, of course, I went and got sick. And so we're still going to do the topic, though.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
And we are going to talk a little bit about alphabet soup. In the therapy world, we love acronyms. We have acronyms for everything. And so two acronyms that I want to talk about today are PECS and AAC.
PECS.
Yes. So PECS is an abbreviation or an acronym for Picture Exchange Communication System.
Picture Exchange Communication Systems.
And PECS involves Velcro and little 2-inch by 2-inch photos. I'm currently showing Jim a picture of one of these little pictures.
You got to have a lot of pictures.
You are absolutely right. And PECS is... what we're going to call today an outdated form of AAC. And AAC stands for Augmentative and Alternative communication. And AAC just refers to all the ways that human beings communicate other than through speech, through mouth words.
Okay.
And I think it's fair to say that we all use AAC every day.
Sure.
Is there ever a time where you would prefer to text someone rather than call them on the phone?
Yeah, like when you're...
like multiple times a day.
Yeah, like in a meeting or something and somebody's like, I need to talk to you or whatever. You just text them back and say, hey, I'll call you when I get out of this or whatever.
Or if I need to text my sister just about something kind of random rather than call her because I don't know what she's doing, right? We text. We text each other.
Like an address or something.
Yeah, or do you ever get a text from someone and you reply with an emoji rather than with words?
Yep.
Of course. So mm-hmm. that is AAC. Yeah. We're choosing to use pictures over words. And so we all use augmentative and alternative communication every single day. And if mm-hmm. you're a speech therapist, I think it's really important that you convey that and talk to families about that. Because you're going to have a lot of families who think that using AAC will prevent speech from developing. And there's absolutely no research to support that at all. All the research shows that using augmentative and alternative communication will actually support the development of speech. And so we don't want to ever think that AAC is in any way bad or negative. But what we do want to talk about is this idea that as we learn more, as we know better, we do better, right? Maya Angelou's famous quote, we do the best we can until we know better, and when we know better, we do better. And I think that applies in so many ways for us as therapists, as providers, to make sure that we are always providing evidence-based treatment or approaches, you know, using approaches that are evidence-based. And so we really want to talk today about PECS, which has been historically widely used, not only in the field of speech-language pathology, but also behavior therapists. ABA providers tend to be very big into PECS. And I want to talk to you a little about the history of PECS.
Okay.
PECS was actually created in 1985, and it was first implemented with preschool students at the Delaware Autism Program. So that's how it started, okay? In order to be officially trained in PECS, there's a two-day training. And I would say a lot of providers are using a form of PECS, but they've never been formally trained. So it's more like they're using a modified version of this picture exchange communication system. So PECS is based on B.F. Skinner's book called Verbal Behavior and the principles of applied behavior analysis, or ABA, are very much ingrained in this approach. Okay. So what's fascinating about if you're trained in PECS is verbal prompts are not used. So I find it really fascinating as an SLP that language is not used to teach the child this communication system.
Okay.
You don't talk. There's no verbal prompts that are used. Okay. PECS is an AAC system that's focused on compliance, and it uses reinforcers, and it very much uses hand over hand assistance to teach them to get the picture and then put it in the adult's hand and exchange it for the real item. But there's no verbal prompts that are used. So they're not really using language to teach communication. So from an SLP's perspective, that just seems contradictory to me. Okay. PECS requires the non-speaking child to exchange that picture for that desired object. And what's interesting, when you look at the history of this approach, this AAC system, this method intentionally creates frustration by withholding desired objects or food until compliance is achieved with the exchange. So if the child gets upset, I mean, they actually teach you in this program, stand your ground, use hand-over-hand assistance if necessary, but the child must exchange the picture for the item. Compliance is mandatory.
Okay.
So as a neurodiversity-affirming speech-language pathologist, I am just going to say this is not a responsive, a natural, or even a nice way to teach communication.
Okay, yeah.
So we should be moving away from PECS as a form of AAC. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other reasons why, as neurodiversity-affirming providers, why we should not be using or recommending PECS.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. I think I have a total of 11 reasons why we should not be using.
Okay.
Yeah. See, you thought this was going to be quick and simple and like one reason why. But again, we have to really think about the fact that we should be focusing on communication, not just teaching isolated language skills, right? Yeah. Communication is the goal. And so communication.
So, I mean, is that the primary goal of PECS or is it more compliance?
No, the goal is compliance. I mean, I think that PECS users will tell you, oh no, we're trying to teach them communication. Okay. But well, really, ultimately, it's about being compliant, right? And that's where...
Compliant communication.
Compliant communication. There you go. Yeah, I think that's really what this is aiming for. So what we want to do as neurodiversity-affirming providers, or if you're not yet a neurodiversity-affirming provider, but you're trying to make that shift, because it is a process, right, to becoming mm-hmm. neuroaffirming. So let's talk about some of the reasons why we should be moving away from PECS. First of all, PECS is not what we would consider a linguistically robust AAC system, okay? Robust AAC offers a way to communicate about more than what's happening in the here and now.
Okay.
Right. You should be able to communicate about what you're feeling, about what you did this weekend, about what your hopes and dreams are, about what you want to do at recess, you know,
right.
When you and I communicate, we communicate about more than what's happening right here and right now. Okay. Robust AAC contains hundreds and hundreds of core words, fringe words, personal words. So what do we mean by that? If you're a parent, core words are the words that make up about something like around 80% of the words that we use. They're words like in, on, out. You know, they're these sure. core words that are highly used in our everyday communication. Fringe words are going to be words like nouns and okay. verbs. So like cookie and cracker and okay. eat, things like that. Those are called fringe words. Personal words are words that have obviously meaning to you as an individual. So it might be your dog's name.
Okay.
Right? It might be what you call your grandma. You know, mm-hmm. some people call their grandma Nanny. Some people call them Grammy. You know, so that's a personal word, right?
Right,
it might
right.
be if your favorite cartoon character is Spider-Man, then maybe Spider-Man is a personal word. So obviously we want to build in those personal words too. Robust AAC offers a wide range of word classes, not just nouns. You're going to find in a PECS book, the majority of the words are nouns. They're fringe words, okay? So there's mostly just...
So there's not a picture for in.
No, there's going to be pictures for like cookie, cracker, juice, milk, because we're going to talk about how PECS is primarily used early on for only requesting. So if you're requesting, you need concrete objects.
So not okay? like... So like inside, outside.
Yeah, yeah, those kind of words probably are not going to be a part of a PECS book, okay? Huh. So we want robust AAC doesn't just include nouns. Robust AAC can grow language and literacy over time because obviously,
sure.
you know, to be successful in school, you're going to have to be able to
right.
access the curriculum, right? You're going to have to be able to learn to read and write, right? And mm-hmm. those are going to be very difficult.
So is it, it's a picture with a word? Or is it...
Well, yeah, this is what, so usually it will have a picture and a lot of times.
But that's PECS, but I'm
yeah.
so the other robust ones they
oh,
have.
Oh, we'll talk about that. Yeah, okay. yeah, yeah. Right. We'll get into that. Yeah. So, and another thing that a linguistically robust AAC system does is it allows the communicator to eventually be able to construct grammatically correct utterances so that you're communicating in full sentences. How are you going to learn to read mm-hmm. if you're not, because written language is an extension of spoken language. So you've got to right. be able to use communication in ways that eventually access grammar, right? So
okay.
that you can learn to read.
So like your gestalt...
Language processors. Uh-huh.
It seems to me, just as a layperson,
uh-huh.
that this, you know, a robust system would be very advantageous
oh,
to them because they're not absolutely. Sounding out words.
No, no.
Aaron never sounded out a word in his life.
No, and they're not using a lot of single words typically if you're a gestalt
right.
language processor. So yeah, you want to have access to...
It'd be words and phrases
to
too.
To phrases, right. And so that's what we'll talk about. Yeah, we'll get into that. So
okay.
the second reason why we don't want to go focus on PECS is that PECS focuses primarily on requesting in the initial levels, but it doesn't offer other communicative functions. So let's think about the other reasons. You know, what do we use communication for? Well, we use communication to just make comments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's raining really hard today, right? So we make
right.
a comment. Or we ask questions, right? We answer questions. Sometimes we use communication to protest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this.
Right.
I don't like green beans, you know?
Right.
I don't want to go inside.
What about I'm full?
I'm full, exactly, right? We use communication to socialize with other people,
mm-hmm.
right? To simply just... That's how you make and keep friends is, right, by socializing. Sometimes we like to tell jokes. Sometimes we like to express thoughts. I mean, there's so many different reasons that we use communication. But when we focus primarily on requesting, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I was in a meeting. I was at a school district, and I was sitting in a conference room with about 10 or 12 early childhood teachers and SLPs and OTs, and we were having a conversation, and they were using PECs mm-hmm. with one of their students. Excuse me. And I just said, in this meeting, if I only allowed you to communicate when you needed to make a request, how many times would you guys have communicated thus far in this meeting? And they mm-hmm. all kind of looked at each other, and they're like, well, we wouldn't have communicated at all. And I'm like, that's the point, is we don't spend the majority of our day making requests. Is that fair to say?
Right.
I mean, it's a small part of our day. And right. if you're a young child, you probably request a little more than adults do. But
with this system, it's all about.
That's all it is. It's about requesting. Oh, you want a snack? Okay, use your words. And they'll put a PECs book in front of the kid and say, what do you want? You know, and they'll make them, you know, get the picture of the
cracker.
Well,
how did they determine in the first place that he wanted a snack?
Well, see, that's the thing, you know. I mean, there could be ways that they have that, you know, maybe they're gesturing.
Sign language?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Okay.
But the point is that they're using this book then. Oh, it's time for center time. You need to pick what center you want to go to. So they'll give them a choice of three centers. Which mm-hmm. one do you want?
Right.
And then they have to choose. So see, it's making a request.
Okay.
Which song do you want to sing? And here's your choice, right? So they're predetermined choices. So you got to understand, they're predetermined, okay?
Right.
And so, but the point is, they're teaching the child to simply make a request. All right, the third reason that we want to think about moving away from PECs is that hand-over-hand assistance is encouraged, and that violates the child's right to body autonomy.
Okay.
Anytime we take mm-hmm. their hand and we put it on the picture, we say, you know, take the picture off and now put it in my hand, and then we reinforce them and say, you know, good job using your words, and then we give them the Lego, or we give them the cookie, or we give them whatever it is they requested. The point is, anytime you're using hand-over-hand assistance, you are teaching the most vulnerable members of society, mm-hmm. disabled children, you are teaching them that adults can touch you whenever they want, wherever they want. And I hope you understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
But it is never okay to teach a disabled child that adults can touch you whenever they want, wherever they want, and that they can demand compliance from you.
Mm.
Okay, so neurodiversity-affirming providers do not use hand-over-hand assistance because it is a violation of body autonomy.
Okay.
So that is another reason why we're moving away from that. The fourth reason, PECs focuses on compliance. It's based on operant conditioning, and neurodiversity-affirming practices are not aligned with this behaviorist approach. If the goal is compliance, it's not neurodiversity-affirming.
Okay.
Now, not to say that you know that kids should be able to just do whatever they want. We can still have boundaries. It's not saying
there's still rules.
Yeah, there's still rules and there's still boundaries. The point is, we don't write goals where the primary emphasis is on compliance. Because then it's just do what I tell you to do and don't question me.
Right.
And that is not a respectful or a responsive way to work with disabled children.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next reason we're moving away from PECs. PECs makes it difficult to access the curriculum in school. It's pretty difficult to grow language, grammar, and literacy. I don't know how you're going to teach a kid literacy, you know, with PECs, when PECs is really focused on, fringe words and on requesting early on. And
it just seems clunky in general.
It is. And we live in a high-tech world today. So the good news is we have lots of much better options available. Okay. All right. The next one, PECs books are cumbersome and the icons are difficult to keep track of. I'm really disappointed. When we moved into our new office in November, I got rid of all my PECs stuff because I don't use it anymore. And so I don't have it to show you. I mean, when I cleaned out everything, but they are these clunky is a good word, books that have strips of Velcro in them. And then there's and you have to, you know, you have to carry this book, and the pictures, because they're Velcro, they get lost.
I can't imagine how many thousands of pictures you would have.
Well,
to
that's
have.
The thing is, you don't have thousands because it's not realistic. And so the kid has a few dozen choices because the book can only handle so much, and and there's no organization system to it. And so I remember when this was the only system really, you know, 20 years ago that I even, you know, had access to. And so if you lost your picture of, you know, when you'd print off these little photos, you'd have to print three or four because you knew they'd eventually get lost, you know, so you would just try to, where'd the picture for Bubbles go? Even though, you know, you already knew what the kid wanted, you had to make them exchange this picture for that. You see what I'm getting at? So it's not.
I mean, you're talking about
a natural way.
Physical library
of photos.
Of cards,
right,
as opposed to a digital library, which could hold tens of thousands
exactly.
phrases or whatever.
Now let's think about this. When you have a PEX book, this is huge, you guys. The pictures, the icons are always moving, right? They're never being put back in the same exact place.
Mm-hmm.
So as someone who specializes in apraxia, in motor planning difficulties, I'm going to tell you right now, it is extremely difficult for a child to establish a motor plan for using their communication system if the icons are always changing location. So one of the most important things about robust communication AAC devices is that the icons never change. They always are going to be in the same place. And
that way the
child builds a motor plan for it, right?
Sure.
They know that if we're talking about a high-tech device, that I hit this button and that takes me to colors. And then I hit this, and then they can, and they always know where colors are going to be, or they always know where protest words are going to be, or they always know where food icon, are going to be. And so they build that motor plan. So that is extremely important.
Well, and that would just aid in the ability to use the system.
To use it, absolutely, absolutely. All right, the next reason we're moving away from PECs. PECs does not support how, and you brought this up earlier, Gestalt language processors acquire and use language. One of the greatest things about a robust, high-tech AAC system is that it allows us to use pre-programmed messages.
Mm-hmm.
So we can put entire scripts in there. We can put entire Gestalts in
there. That's awesome.
And that is a much more effective way. I mean, I even think about, if there's a question that a child gets asked frequently, like, what's your name or how old are you? It's so awesome that you can put in a pre-programmed answer. My name is Carrie and I'm 12 years old, right? So that way you don't have to find every button to answer every question. It's just, it's so nice when you can have pre-programmed messages, okay?
I'm thinking back to when Aaron was young,
mm-hmm.
and I just feel that he would have benefited so much from
AAC system. Absolutely.
That, I mean, it could have reduced the amount of frustrations.
Oh, and his meltdowns.
He had.
Our son had epic meltdowns. But again, Aaron was born before the digital age. Back then, AAC devices, they were extremely expensive. They were very hard to come by. They were heavy like suitcases. Mm-hmm. When I worked in early intervention, I had many kids who were non-speaking and who were using these big clunky suitcase-sized devices. They were heavy. You had to, nobody could afford them. And if you finally did get insurance to pay for them, somebody had to come program them, and then you couldn't easily update them. I mean, it was just, so that's why we didn't go to them. We didn't use them, right? The good news is things are different now.
Yeah.
We live in the digital age.
We have technology advances.
So we're going to talk about that. Okay, a couple more reasons why we're moving away from PECs. PECs actually has this sentence strip that they are expected to use at a certain level. So it's it usually is I want. And so at the bottom will be this sentence strip, I want. And let's say it's Legos, right? So they pull the Legos off. They have to attach it to this strip. They remove the whole strip. And then they're expected to say, I want Legos, or I want cookie, or I want. So they use this kind of this sentence strip. Again, from a motor planning standpoint, I struggle with this because speech production requires continuous movement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we teach kids to use a sentence strip, what happens is kids end up segmenting and putting pauses between words, and they end up sounding robotic. I want a cookie. Do you hear how robotic that sounds? And so there is nothing about that simulates the motor planning skills that are necessary for speech production, which is fluid, continuous movement. I want a cookie. That's how we would say it. But we end up teaching kids to say, I want a, or I see a. And you hear that choppy, that staccato, and that segmentation. And that is a big no-no when we start considering speech production skills.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Another reason why we're moving away from PECs. PECs is a difficult AAC system for communication partners to model in everyday life. So when we are introducing an AAC system, we must be very clear that what we are introducing is a brand new language.
Okay.
And no child, no human being learns a new language in a couple weeks. So the example we like to give as SLPs is when a baby is born, the caregivers, the adults in their life, model spoken language for up to 1 year before we expect them to have any output at all. Before a baby says their first word, we model language for 1 year with no performance expectations at all. And yet when we introduce an AAC system, providers get frustrated when after a month or two that they'll say, oh, he doesn't like his system. He doesn't use it, or she doesn't like it. She just throws it. Or here's another good one. Well, she just pushes the same button over and over and, you know, just listens to the same word. Well, that's called babbling. Mm-hmm. And what do babies do when they're learning to talk? Yeah. They babble. They learn to play with sounds, right? This is how they figure out what is happening, you know, how to use this system. And so one of the first things that we focus on when introducing AAC is the communication partner models its use with no performance expectations at all from the child. How are you going to do that with PECs? Yeah. I have a book filled with items that a child could request. How am I going to model that language system using PECs? Do you see how it can't be done? You can't model. Whereas if I have a robust AAC system where I can say to the child, I'm hungry, let's eat lunch. I can simultaneously activate those buttons on the high-tech AAC device to model it for the child. Does that make sense? I can use my mouth words and I can simultaneously model it on this robust AAC system. Hmm. And we model it with no expectations for performance. But PECs isn't like that. PECs is 100% you use it or you don't get what you want.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Do you see the difference there?
In your travels.
Yes.
You are much traveled.
Yes, I'm well traveled. Yes.
How many agencies, school districts, whatever do you run into
that still use
PECs?
Oh, a lot of I think it's extremely common that it's still being used. I find when I go to certain states, especially those that are on the coast, it seems like everything kind of happens on the coast and it moves its way, you know, to the Midwest. That's just sort of naturally how things work. In some of the large coastal cities, they haven't been using PECs for a few years. Like they've known about this, but I feel like here in the Midwest, so some of you who are listening, maybe you're like, God, we haven't used PECs for 2 years. Like we got, you know, whereas other people are like, oh, I just went to a PECs training last week. Right. I was just in a school district. I won't mention the state, but in the Midwest here, they are actually sending their staff to a PECs training. And I'm like, what? Please stop spending your money on that. I mean, it's an immense amount of money to go for a 2-day training, send all these people, and you're not even sending them to a robust AAC training. Like this is why those of us who are neuroaffirming are just trying to spread the word that if you're going to spend money on training your SLPs and your special education staff on AAC, please make sure you're training them on robust AAC.
Yeah. Okay? It seems backwards to me. It'd be like sending someone or training someone on how to use a fax machine.
Right. Because we laugh, don't we? When we own our own business, and when someone emails us and says, oh yeah, we need your address and your fax number. And we just laugh out loud because we're like, we don't have a fax machine in eons. I can't even think.
It's not 1991.
Exactly. So. So yeah, that's a good analogy that PECs is kind of like a fax machine. Like it served its purpose.
Right.
We used it when we had nothing better.
Yeah, it was useful at the time, but now there's much better ways to communicate things.
I love
things.
It. You are killing me. PECs is like a fax machine. Okay. You are amazing. All right. So our last reason why we are moving away from PECs is that non-speaking adults don't use it. So it is at best a temporary AAC system. If non-speaking adults aren't using PECs, that means there's no way it can last into adulthood. So why would we spend all our time and effort and energy on introducing a compliance-based AAC system that doesn't have legs, that can't last? You know.
So what you're saying is that once you have autonomy to choose your own communication system,
what I'm saying is once you have autonomy, you're not going to say, oh, please let me use this compliance-based system. Yeah, let me system.
Be self-compliant.
Right. Let me use this system where people can deny me the things that I want in life because I'm not doing it the right way.
Okay.
So I want to tell you my horror story, okay? And Jim, I've probably told you this before, and if you've taken my autism course, I share this story, but this happened just last year. I'm an autism consultant in a couple different school districts around the country, and I was in a self-contained autism classroom. There were, this is in an elementary school, and there was a 5-year-old non-speaking autistic child in this classroom, okay?
Okay.
And in this classroom, there was a cupboard up out of reach, you know, like he could see it, but he obviously couldn't get to it. Mm-hmm. And he actually gestured at it, and mm-hmm. then he kind of squealed and he made a sound, right? So he's looking at it, he kind of gestured at it, he made this sound, and the paraprofessional in the room, so I'm in the room as well, the teacher's there, but the paraprofessional goes, "Oh, do you want bubbles?" And then she looked at me and goes, "That's where we keep the bubbles." And I'm like, got it. We're on the same page here. I get it. That's where you keep the bubbles. So she asks him, "Do you want the bubbles?" And he immediately starts clapping and rocking back and forth. And the smile on his face is as big as can be. So I think we can all agree he has communicated and she has received the message and she has understood it. Are we all good with that?
Yeah.
She says, "Do you want the bubbles?" He clearly indicates yes. And she then gets out the PECS book, reaches over, gets this PECS book and goes, "Now tell me with your words." So now what he has to do is find the picture of the bubbles, put it on the sentence strip, pull the sentence strip off and hand it to her and say, he can't say it, but, you know, hand her this strip. And then she was going to give him the bubbles. Well, I hope you understand, excuse me, that what happened is she's already expressed that she understood him. And then she's making him communicate in a different way. So what does he do? He slaps that PECS book out of her hand, throws himself on the ground, starts banging his head very hard and screaming at the top of his lungs. And she turns and looks at me and goes, "See, this is the behavior we're dealing with all day long." And I probably have smoke coming out of my ears at this point. I'm ready to explode. I had to turn away because, as you always say, Carrie, you yell with your face, right? So I had to turn away so that I didn't like lose it. And I turned back around and I had to, well, first I had to use co-regulation to try to bring him back because that was self-injurious behavior, right? He's now banging his head. So, and then when it was appropriate, the teacher and the paraprofessional, I sat down and I talked about how that was actually triggered by your response, you know, that you did not honor his form of communication. And she said, "Well, we have a behavior plan in place that says he has to use PECS to communicate." And this is where I lose my mind over this.
Yeah.
The fact that there is actually a behavior plan in place in this school that he must use PECS to communicate. Can you imagine? So I give this example, like, what if I texted you and said, let's have pizza for dinner or something like that. And you texted back and said, "Don't text me. You need to call me and tell me what you want for dinner." Like, can you imagine if you said, I'd be like, what is wrong with this man? He has lost his mind, right? But yet we do it to little kids, non-speaking kids all the time.
Okay, for all of you out there, if that happened, I'd be afraid to go home. Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
But can you imagine treating an adult
no.
the way we treat non-speaking children? If we ever use those tactics with another adult, I can't even fathom the response.
Communication's communication,
right? That's right. But so that is why neurodiversity affirming providers, here's this is the hill we die on. We will honor all forms of communication.
Yes.
We will never place higher worth on spoken words or on PECS or on anything, right? We honor all forms of communication. We write goals for communication. We don't write goals for using a specific type of communication.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why when I write a communication goal, I will write it, when given unrestricted access to multimodal communication, child will communicate whatever, right? So it's saying, I'm not going to tell you how he's going to communicate. I have no idea. But the point is we're going to honor every form.
You know what's so ironic about this whole system to me is that, you know, the saying used to be a picture's worth a thousand words. I don't think so. I think picture's worth
very few words.
One word.
Right? Exactly. In this system, you are exactly right. So I want to make it clear, though, that using pictures as a way to request, there's nothing wrong with that inherently. So I'm showing Jim this. It's 3, 6, 9, 12 pictures on one piece of paper. It's a thing I made for one of my little friends that I used to work with.
Yeah.
And I had asked his parents, he was 2.5 years old, non-speaking. And I had asked his parents, what was the most challenging part of your week when I came for my home visit? And they said, going out to the restaurant. We like to go out once a week.
Sure.
We take our kids.
Yeah.
And you know how when you ask a toddler, do you want something? And they nod yes. And then when you give it to them, they're mad because it was the wrong thing.
Right.
Yes, no is not always reliable in toddlers.
Sure.
So I asked the parents, what are the things he typically would request or likes to eat when you go out to a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And so on this, I printed the pictures. We have chicken nuggets, a cheeseburger, chips, a corn dog, fruit, French fries, applesauce, a hot dog cut up, and then a picture of a hot dog in a bun. Because we know with a toddler, it matters, right?
Yeah.
pizza, macaroni and cheese, and ketchup. These are the primary things that this child eats. So I gave them this picture communication board, right? It's not PECs. It's not, you don't have to exchange anything, but it's just a way. So when they went to the restaurant, they took this and they whipped it out of their diaper bag and they showed him, and he was proud as punch. He actually took this up to the lady at Culver's to order, and he ordered his own food using this picture communication menu, if you will. And he carried it around for like 5 days. He thought it was the greatest thing ever.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm not saying don't use pictures as a way for little kids or non-speaking kids to request.
There's 12 options on there versus one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And these are all the things that the parents, you know, said. These are the
these
things
are his
he
favorites.
Typically requests, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't want people to think I'm saying don't ever use pictures as a form of AAC.
Right.
What we're saying is don't use a behaviorally based program like picture exchange communication system where items are withheld until the child gives it to you.
Yeah,
that
I think that, you know, in your horror story that you just told, I think that's the most disturbing part about it, is that the behavior was created by the fact that they're withholding.
Yeah.
The bubbles.
Because that's compliance-based therapy. Then.
Right.
Right. That's a compliance-based approach, and that is not aligned with neurodiversity-affirming practices.
It just seems like a lot of the behaviors that then, if you're using a system like this, or if you're doing this compliance-based or any kind of compliance-based, that you may be creating behaviors that aren't there.
That's right. So a whole different, and this should be one of our topics. I can't remember I don't think we've talked on this specifically, but we need to talk about the difference between co-regulation and co-escalation. Because co-escalation is when the adult uses a strategy that co-escalates the child's behavior, right?
So I'm trying to remember back with Aaron, and I can't recall, and I wish I could.
Uh-huh.
Instances where something like this was done.
Oh, at school it was done all the time, which is why we pulled him from school.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, with us.
Oh, with us. No, because we honored all. I mean, parents typically can communicate pretty effectively with their child, right? I mean, Aaron.
Why I think a lot of, and I'm sorry to cut
no,
you out there.
Good.
A lot of the times parents are surprised that there's these behaviors happening, you know, or they're. I mean, because
they're
not happening at home.
They're not happening at home, right.
Because they're honoring those forms of communication.
Right, right. Because when Aaron would, you know, take us somewhere and, you know, put our hand on something to indicate that's what he wanted, we would honor that. We wouldn't say, oh, use your words now. Like, but that's what was happening. You know, again, if you're in a classroom or in a therapy room where the providers are compliance-based, then they are going to create behaviors. That's called co-escalating approaches, right? And that's what neurodiversity affirming providers don't co-escalate, we co-regulate. So we will talk about that in another episode.
And you're assuming, or you're saying basically that form of communication is invalid.
Right, that's what when they've decided, when you have a behavior plan that says the child must use PECs to communicate, then you are saying we will not honor all forms of communication.
As opposed to neurodiversity affirming
where we
honor all.
That's right, we honor all forms of communication.
Okay.
Yep, it's absolutely. So I just wanted to give our listeners a few ideas of linguistically robust AAC options to consider. This is in no way an exhaustive list, okay? So some people—
And we're not affiliated with any of
And we're
these
not affiliated
companies.
With any of them. We don't make any money off of any of this. These are just ones that I have personally had experience with in the past. Sometimes the high-tech devices are called talkers. Sometimes we call them communication devices. These are so many of the apps now are available on smartphones, on tablets.
That's so
like
awesome.
You don't have to buy a device now, a separate device, right? So LAMP, Words for Life, is honestly one of my favorites. LAMP stands for Language Acquisition and Motor Planning. So it actually is designed for kids with motor planning struggles, right?
Wow.
So LAMP,
cool.
You know, my little friend Hudson from Mississippi, and they allow me to talk about Hudson, but that was his communication system when I started working with him was LAMP. There's ProLoquo to Go, there's Cough Drop, there's Touch Chat. Weave Chat is a new one that just came out, Weave Chat, and it is totally free.
Like Weave a Basket.
It's called Weave Chat, and it is completely free, and they said they're coming out with the Spanish version within the next year or two. So make sure you check Weave Chat out. Follow them on Facebook. I've been really impressed with it.
Okay.
Now, there is one that is not, it can be either high tech or it can be low tech, and it's called Pod Books, P-O-D-D, Pod Books. And it is uses pictures,
okay,
and they are in a book, but they are pragmatically organized. That's what POD, pragmatically organized dynamic display, P-O-D-D. But when you use it not in a system, but as an actual physical book, it is organized so that you, the pictures always stay in the same place, but they're pragmatically organized on how you would use words in a sentence.
Oh.
And so there, it can be low tech or it can be high tech. And that does require a 2-day training as well, okay? But there are many, many options out there for robust AAC. And so we don't need to use PECS anymore. It is outdated and it is compliance based,
right,
okay? So
right,
we need to really be moving away from that. What we can no longer say as providers is, well, we've always used PECS, or we use PECS as a prerequisite to robust AAC. We know there are no prerequisites to AAC, that it's going to take time for any child to learn any new language, right?
Well, and so, okay, so I'm struggling with this. I'm sorry.
No, but you're good.
So if there are actual free systems out there.
Mm-hmm. You have to have the device.
Okay.
So that's what some people are struggling with is, oh, we don't have iPads. You know, there are some people and some school districts that can't afford it.
Yeah, okay. So, but let's be realistic here. Most school districts
have access to.
Everything is technology driven now.
Yeah.
This should be just a nice mesh into that.
Every state has lending libraries, like assistive technology lending libraries. And so you just need to find one of those, right? I understand that financially, that's where some people say the burden is coming. But again, we live in the high-tech world. There are devices everywhere. So we just have to find access to them. Then once you get that, I mean, some of these systems cost $299, you know, to buy. So we're not talking, they used to be $15,000, you know,
right,
to buy a Dynavox, the suitcase thing that I used to use with clients. And so I understand that, yes, it can be an issue, but it is something that we have to overcome.
But
we
if there's like downloadable systems onto your current tech that you have in your school district,
right,
I don't see why you would want to.
Well, the issue is.
So then to me, say, well, PECS is the only option that we have. Well, that's not really
because
true.
You can use a picture communication system, but
it's
it doesn't have to be the only option. PECS. Right.
And if you're in a school district or.
Then get POD books.
Get your technology to house that within it.
Right. So this is why we could go on. There's so many other things, that we could talk about with AAC. So we're not going to get into a lot of it, but it's just very important that we understand the why behind moving away from PECS. That was the point of this. I think we could talk a lot more about the fact that there isn't any prerequisites for AAC, for robust AAC, and we really need to think about what the process is for introducing a new language to a child,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But for today, what I want to just end on is that this is why, as professionals, ongoing professional development is necessary. Because everything that I learned about AAC, everything that I learned about autism when I was in grad school, I'm telling you right now, it's all outdated.
Right.
Every bit of it
right.
is outdated. And so we have to continuously grow. That's why professional development is mandatory to maintain our licenses, right? Is we absolutely cannot stay stuck in the past. We cannot say, but this is how I've always done it, or this is what I was taught in grad school. I don't care if you graduated last year. What you learned is outdated already, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
is why we have to
I mean,
take...
how many times have we heard these stories from new grads and
yeah.
new SLPs or that just got their Cs and
right.
they're just like, well, this isn't what I was taught.
Right. I wasn't taught
this. And they're in school a couple years ago.
Exactly.
So
really professional development is always about reflect and refine.
Mm-hmm.
Reflect on what you currently know. Reflect on what you were taught. Reflect on how you currently practice. And then based on the newest evidence, what we're going to do is refine our practice standards, right? That's what we do as professionals. It is required. And that is how we practice at the top of our license, is we constantly reflect and refine. We never utter the words, but that's not what I was taught, or I've always done it this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is not practicing at the top of our license. So thank you. That was a really invigorating conversation for our first.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was going to be so...
Yeah, and it can be really a touchy topic.
I just kept flashing back to when Aaron was young and how much this would have helped him if we had
robust
access
AAC.
To it.
I know. So, oh, here we go. Okay, good thing we're wrapping up because I'm going to start coughing. Thanks for listening to another episode of the SLP Talk Show. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues to give us a listen. Now get out there and be kind, be accepting. Put your screens down for a bit and go outside. It is a truly beautiful world. And please don't forget to schedule your mammogram. Early detection could save your life. As an 11-year breast cancer survivor, it certainly saved mine. Until next time, cheers.